Good afternoon and welcome to Local Matters, Health Matters, where we will be highlighting health issues and community concerns in the Upper Cumberland. I am Dr. Jennifer Mabry, professor and nurse practitioner from the Whitson-Hester School of Nursing at Tennessee Tech University. As the seasons change in the Upper Cumberland, many people suffer from seasonal allergies. While we often associate allergies with spring, different allergens are prevalent throughout the year, including environmental factors that affect each season. Today, we will explore allergies with Upper Cumberland allergist and immunologist Dr. Aaron Roman. Dr. Roman is from the Allergy, Asthma, and Sinus Center here in Cookeville and is with us today to discuss allergies in the Upper Cumberland. Thank you for joining us. Let's talk about allergies.
I'm excited to do that, and perfect timing, right?
Perfect timing.
Spring is upon us, so I'm really excited to be here. Can't wait to see what we can dig into today.
Oh, we're going to dig.
Good. I'm ready.
Hopefully not put up too much pollen today,
yes,
but we're going to dig.
Yes.
So, Dr. Roman, briefly tell me about your background and your role as an allergist immunologist.
Sure. So I am board certified in both allergy and immunology. And I've been in the Upper Cumberland practicing for 15 years now. So it's been a while, and I'm enjoying it very much. Turns out the Upper Cumberland is a very busy place for an allergist, which is great. Keeps me on my toes. So from the allergy side of things, I would say that makes up the majority of my practice. I do see patients who have problems with their immune system, hence the name immunologist as well. Mm-hmm. But for sure in the Upper Cumberland, allergy makes up the largest portion of my practice.
I would think so.
Definitely.
So where were you before you came to Cookeville?
So I did my undergraduate at Middle Tennessee State University. I was born and raised in Murfreesboro and stayed there for college. Went on to medical school at East Tennessee State University, Quillen College of Medicine. Spent 5 years there because I also did my intern year there in internal medicine. And then moved to Memphis for the University of Tennessee and finished my internal medicine residency there and went on to do a 2-year fellowship in allergy and immunology. So my board certifications actually are internal medicine, allergy, and immunology.
You are a smart lady.
Well,
that's
thank you very much.
That's
I am certainly well-studied, let's put it that
well,
way.
Well, lots of school.
That's right.
And I love that they're all in Tennessee.
I love that you're
from Murfreesboro, and then you went to East Tennessee, so you've been to the east of the state, and then you went to Memphis, and you've done the whole thing.
I have seen all parts of the state of Tennessee, and let me tell you, they're all different.
Very.
They're all fun. They all have great things about them, but they're all very different, and so it was really a pleasure being in every single part. And now we call the Upper Cumberland home.
Perfect. So, speaking of the Upper Cumberland, what are some signs and symptoms that you would want our listeners to know in the Upper Cumberland that they should look out for when it comes to seasonal, let's talk about spring allergies, and then we'll go to environmental. So,
Sure. What
kind of signs and symptoms would you qualify as allergies?
Yeah, I would say the typical things Upper Cumberland allergy sufferers deal with are stuffy, runny nose, itchy, watery eyes. Those are probably your top 4 symptoms when it comes to allergies in the springtime. However, there are some things that can be tricky to identify as allergy symptoms. So post-nasal drip can a lot of times be from allergies. Coughing, hoarseness can be from allergies. Headaches. I get a lot of people who come in suffering with headaches.
Interesting.
And, you know, it's hard to sort that out sometimes. So those symptoms are not always due to allergies, but sometimes they are. And I think that's where patients and I really get into trying to sort out for them what if this is allergies and what may be something else. And then we sort of, you know, get into how to make a treatment plan for them.
So how would you have someone come in to your office? How would they distinguish that cough and the itchy eyes from another health condition? Like, let's say they had a virus. How would you educate them to know the difference?
Right. So if you want to just try to sort it out from the history, you sort of see how long those symptoms have been going on and are they related to exposure to something specific? So, you know, a virus typically lasts 1 to 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks if you're really unlucky. But seasonal allergies will often span an entire season. So a spring allergy sufferer can be suffering for 6 weeks or more. And that's not typical with like a virus or something
right,
like
right.
that.
Right, right.
So you can do it based on history. You can try to sort it out that way. But if you want to get a little clearer, you start talking about allergy skin testing.
Oh.
And that is something that we do in the office. It's okay. a very simple procedure. Takes about 45 minutes for most patients, and you get results same day. So that can be very satisfying for patients to come in and find out that day what allergies they are dealing with, if any.
So if I had some allergies and I needed to come into your office, do I ask for skin testing, or is that part of the workup that you guys do?
Right, right. That's part of the discussion that we have, and I take each patient individually. A lot of patients come in just wanting help with over-the-counter medicines, knowing what to take, maybe getting a prescription medicine that hasn't been available to them over-the-counter. So some patients are just looking for some very basic help knowing what medicines they can take. And as you know, there's a lot of conditions that a patient can have that make certain medicines unhealthy or even dangerous for them. So we start there for a lot of patients. Then if patients are not satisfied with medicines and how those are treating their symptoms, a lot of times the discussion will then head toward allergy skin testing. And again, that is something that can be done on the same day if the patient chooses that.
Okay.
And we get into that, again, takes about 45 minutes, usually involves some scratches on the back, maybe a few little needles in the arms. But it's most patients don't describe it as super uncomfortable. Itchy, yes. Painful, no.
Okay. Good to know.
Yes,
no,
yes.
People don't like painful.
No, most patients don't want to come back if it's painful.
No, they don't, especially if they chose to do that.
That's right.
So then from that skin test, did that tell you specific things that they are allergic to, or how does that?
Yeah, it does. It's such an interesting process. Mm-hmm. So we test for about 70 different environmental things.
Wow.
Including 40 different local pollens.
Wow.
Dust.
I did not realize that there
yes.
was that many.
Yes. So about 40 different local pollens, about 20 different indoor-outdoor molds, and I hope we can delve into that mm-hmm. a little bit later mm-hmm. when we can get into things besides just seasonal mm-hmm. allergies, because there's so much more, as you know, than mm-hmm. just seasonal allergies. So we test for about 70 environmental things in the office, and yes, I think we do a really good job of trying to track down everything that it could possibly be for a patient.
Wow. Okay. Good to know. Doesn't hurt. And there are many tests that you do.
Yes.
More than I thought. Okay. So then let's talk about environmental. We've got time. So seasonal allergies is one issue. Environment is a different one. So
right,
talk
right,
about that.
Right. So I typically divide allergies into seasonal and then indoor-outdoor. So seasonal, we think about typically spring and fall. Spring in the Upper Cumberland brings out tree pollen, and it's already started here in the Upper Cumberland. So I know my
yes,
allergy
has.
Sufferers out there that are listening are already,
yes.
The light bulb is on, right? So spring, we typically think of tree pollen. Fall, we typically think of ragweed. And then sometimes we forget about summer. The grass pollen is in there in the summer. And then you really get the overlap of the tree pollen sort of petering out toward the end of spring and early summer, and then ragweed picking up in late summer and early fall. So unfortunately, in the Upper Cumberland, spring, summer, and fall make up a pretty long season for seasonal allergy sufferers. Then if you add on to that environmental allergies, you're looking at indoor and outdoor. And I think of indoor, the big ones being dust mites, animals, so mm-hmm. all of our pet lovers out mm-hmm. there, and I know we've got a lot in the mm-hmm. Upper Cumberland, and you know, many of those pets are indoor-outdoor, so dust, pets, mold is a big one that can be indoors, and you know, a lot of people talk about mold allergy in relation to work or school, and I have found that if a building has been standing in the Upper Cumberland for more than, oh, let's say 5 to 10 years, there's probably some mold there. It's just a fact of life in the Upper Cumberland. We keep sort of a wet, humid climate
You're right,
here.
Yes.
And so mold is very common indoors. Yeah. But the other thing to remember is that in Tennessee in general, if you go outside any time of year, you're going to be exposed to mold. So the mold count, I would say, is moderate to high nearly year-round in the Upper Cumberland and beyond.
How would people know what the counts are? I mean, you mentioned grass and trees and, you know, mold, dust mites. How do people know? Is there an app or is there something you suggest, you know, your patients use?
So if you go on our website, Allergy, Asthma, and Sinus Center, you will find a pollen count in the major pollen season. So allergyasc.com will get you the local pollen, but it's very difficult to find allergens beyond pollen. And I think that's where it can get confusing for patients.
Okay.
Maybe it's winter and they know there's no pollen out, yet they're dealing with these allergy symptoms. Okay. What could possibly be going on?
Right.
I think that's when an allergist can really be helpful in helping you sort out could this possibly be that's bothering me in the middle of winter.
Right. And then once you and your staff help them discover this is what you're allergic to, then perhaps maybe they can avoid those as much as possible.
Yeah, that's right. That's the number one thing we do when it comes to allergy treatment, allergen avoidance. And hopefully we can delve into that
a little deeper. Yes. Yes, Dr. Aaron Roman discusses allergies in the Upper Cumberland. Allergist and immunologist Dr. Aaron Roman is our guest on Local Matters. Today we're talking allergies. I'm Dr. Jennifer Mabry, nursing professor at Tennessee Tech University. All right, last segment, we talked about indoor, outdoor, and we talked about the different allergens, the different triggers that you were talking about. So we didn't really get to talk about, well, once I know what my trigger is, once I know what I'm allergic to, how do I avoid that?
Right. So that's kind of what we ended our last segment with. So you've gotten to the point that maybe you've had the testing and you have figured out what is triggering your allergy symptoms. What do I do next? So I really like to touch on three main ways to treat allergies. And the first way that we're going to talk about is allergen avoidance. So avoidance can be difficult, especially for seasonal allergy sufferers, but let's do what we can, right? So if you're allergic to pollen and you live in the Upper Cumberland, my first advice is move to the desert. But if that is not an option for you and you love the Upper Cumberland as much as I do, and you plan to stay here, what can you do? It's tricky, honestly. You know, everybody loves being outside. That's the great thing about the Upper Cumberland is we have these wonderful seasons and we want to be outside enjoying them and all the nature that we have surrounding us. I would recommend that you consider when you're in the car, rolling those windows up. If it's warm, use the air conditioner because there's nothing like having the wind directly blowing the pollen into your face. That's something, you know, fairly simple you can do. Keep the doors and windows closed at home. I know everybody loves that fresh air, but when it's blowing that yellow pollen right into your windows, onto your floors and tables, that's probably not the best thing to do as a pollen allergy sufferer. So I would say keeping doors and windows closed for our seasonal allergy sufferers is probably the best that they can do. As far as dust mites, there's actually some things we can do for dust mite avoidance, and dust mite allergy is extremely common. We all have dust mites. You cannot get rid of them completely. They are microscopic and they live in our bedding, actually. And I want to be clear for our listeners, this is not bed bugs, okay? This is microscopic.
Right.
They live in our bedding and we all have them.
Right.
It's not a matter of clean or not clean.
Exactly. But Good point.
But there are some things that you can do to reduce your dust mite exposure. And that, number one, is purchasing allergy encasings for your mattress and pillows. These completely enclose the mattress and the pillows. So they're usually zippered and they cover them completely. They're not for comfort. So they are vinyl typically, and they may squeak and scratch just a little bit, but they really do help reduce dust mites. The other thing that you can do at home for dust mite avoidance is washing your bedding in hot water and drying in high heat. And I like for you to do that at least once a week, maybe every other week, so that high heat on the washer and the dryer really is what kills dust mites.
Do you suggest any certain detergent or not detergent or?
Yeah, so we haven't seen a lot of proof that any sort of detergent makes a big difference. However, you know, a lot of patients do have questions about air purifiers.
Yes, that was going to be my next
question. Yes, everybody wants to know about air purifiers. And the truth of the matter is, I'm not sure that they're always worth the money. So if you have the extra money and you want to spend it on an air purifier, great. But you will go a much longer way by doing those things we talked about earlier, which is treat your bedding, get that washed every week, and make sure it's on the highest heat setting, and get those allergy encasings for your mattress and pillow. That's going to be much more affordable and much more effective in the long run.
Okay, very good. What was the third thing? We talked avoidance. We talked about encasing bedding.
Yes.
And there was a third item.
I would say the third and final thing is mold avoidance.
Mm.
So if you can see mold in your home, absolutely get that treated. I do tell patients when they find out they are allergic to mold, you don't need to go home and tear the house up.
Mm.
You just need to treat any visible mold. Because as you and I discussed earlier, mold is going to be part of life in the Upper Cumberland.
It
You're
is.
Not going to be able to just get your mold exposure to zero.
Right.
It's not going to happen here. That's why I tell patients, don't tear up the house. If you can see mold, treat it. But you don't need to go looking in obscure places.
Do you have? Do you suggest to clients and listeners, do they get a professional service to come in and clean mold? Or
I think especially if you suffer from mold allergies, you're probably going to do better to have a professional come in and just take a look for you.
Right.
If you start getting into cleaning mold spores and you inhale those, that can really be trouble for allergy sufferers. So I do recommend that you maybe have a professional come in and take a quick look.
All right. Very good. So three things. Avoidance of the triggers, and that would be determined by whatever trigger you
right,
came in contact with.
Right, whatever your testing shows, right.
And the second thing is make sure your bedding, because we spend so much time in the bed. I don't think people realize, you know, 8 to 10, 12 hours, is it?
That's right. That's exactly what I tell patients is if you're spending 8 to 10 hours in your bed exposed to your bedding, that is the reasonable first place to start with these avoidance measures.
And then the third thing for mold, something I hadn't thought about, but yes, in the Upper Cumberland we have such a humid spring and summer.
That's right.
That is something that is just not unavoidable.
That's right.
Is what you
want to
tell.
Completely avoid mold. So you do what you can with what's visible, knowing that every time you step outside, you're going to be exposed to mold to some extent.
Yes, you are. Well, I think we have time to talk about then treatments. So,
I love treatment. That's where I really come in, right?
Yes.
Right.
Well, I think the testing too, and this has been great advice, but yes, treatment is an option too. So is there any starting treatments that like everybody kind of gets started on, or is it very individualized? Is it,
you know, I would say that by the time most patients have come in to see me, they've tried a lot of the over-counter things.
Okay.
And I would say most patients typically start with one of the common antihistamines.
Right.
Those are usually in tablet form, but of course you can also get them in liquid form for children as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the tricky thing about that is you have to see what else they contain, because a lot of antihistamines are mixed with things like oral decongestants,
yes,
which can have effects on heart rate, blood pressure, brain fog, all sorts of unwanted side effects. So
right.
I think if you've tried the basics and you're not getting anywhere, it's probably time to either seek help from your primary care provider or an allergy specialist.
Okay. So over-the-counter to start with first, and yes, there are so many out there. I mean, you go to the, even your local Publix, Kroger's, the allergy asthma, and I'm using air quotes here, section is immense.
It's overwhelming.
It is
patients.
Overwhelming.
It's completely overwhelming. There are, you know, so many different tablets available, nose yes. sprays available. You see all those boxes, and you really don't even know where to get started.
They don't.
So they just sort of pick up the first thing they see because they just want to get in and get out.
Right.
And the truth of the matter is that may not be the best choice.
Right.
So, you know, I always try to explain to patients that certain tablets treat certain symptoms. Certain nose sprays treat certain symptoms. So depending on your symptoms, if you're having stuffy nose, that's a completely different nose spray from someone having an itchy, runny nose. So if you're having itchy, watery eyes, that's a completely different tablet from someone who maybe is having itchy skin as
right.
part of their allergy symptoms. So, you know, I try to encourage patients not to spend long on the allergy aisle before they just come in and find out what would be best for them.
Yeah, that's good advice. Because you do see people that try the wrong things and they make themselves worse.
They do.
And they don't realize it. They think I'm getting this over-the-counter medication. It's going to help me. It says right there on the box.
Yes. And unfortunately, if you don't read the fine print, you can really get yourself into some unwanted side effects.
Yeah.
I would say if I could warn listeners about anything, it would be the over-the-counter nasal sprays. Some of those are addictive and can end up giving you short-term relief but causing long-term worsening of your symptoms. Some of those can cause more serious side effects within the nose that if your nose is not being examined by a healthcare provider, you can
like yourself.
That's right.
Yeah.
You can be having effects that you don't even see or feel or notice. So, you know, again, I would keep the over-the-counter medicines to a minimum. If you're not getting some pretty quick relief that you can sort of be on that medicine and then off of it fairly quickly, I think you should probably be seeking some professional help.
Great advice. Great advice. More on allergies with Dr. Aaron Roman. Our guest today is allergist immunologist Dr. Aaron Roman on Local Matters, Health Matters. Dr. Roman, we were talking on our last segment about different treatment options, and we talked about some over-the-counter and some things to avoid, some things to maybe to try. What other kind of treatment options do you offer at your practice?
Yeah, that's really good for us to get into next. We talked about over-the-counter medicines. There are prescription allergy medicines that are not available over-the-counter, so those may be good options that a patient and I will discuss when they come in. But the truth of the matter is medicine helps as long as you take it, right?
Right.
Medicine helps and then it's out of your system.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of over-the-counter allergy tablets last 12 hours or less, even though they advertise themselves as 24 hours. So if a patient is sort of to the point that they're tired of the medicines, maybe they have unwanted side effects, maybe the medicines make them sleepy, maybe they don't like the way the medicines taste.
Yeah.
All sorts of things can come from medication usage. The next step really for allergy sufferers is to start talking about allergy shots. And the thing I like about allergy shots is they are more of a long-term solution for allergy sufferers. So if you have found out what you're allergic to, you've tried avoiding those things as much as possible, you've tried medications, and you're still suffering, allergy shots are going to be your next step.
Okay. How do those work? So
allergy shots are typically, for most patients, a 3 to 5 year commitment. So
okay.
I always tell patients, you don't have to be on allergy shots the rest of your life. It's a timed window of treatment, and then you stop them. For the first year, you're going to be in the allergy office frequently getting those allergy shots. But by the end of your treatment, it's much less often. And usually patients are singing our praises at that point because they're only coming in for an allergy shot maybe once a month even and still having excellent control of their allergy symptoms. Essentially, everyone wants to know, what's in an allergy
right.
shot?
What is
right?
in it? Yeah. What are you giving me?
That's right. So the most important thing to know is that there are no medications in allergy shots. So allergy shots are not a quick fix. You're not going to get better after your first allergy shot. What is in allergy shots is exactly what you're allergic to. So if Jennifer comes into the allergy office, gets her allergy testing done, and wants to be on allergy shots, we make up what we call allergen extract. That's what's going to be in your allergy shots based on specifically what you're allergic to. So it's tailored specifically for what you need.
Very individualized.
That's right. It's not a one size fits all with allergy shots. So we mix it up based on what you're allergic to. And then we, through those injections, we expose your immune system to what you're allergic to at very small amounts and slowly increase that concentration over time so that your own immune system learns to take care of your allergies, learns to become tolerant to what you are allergic to. So again, it's more of a long-term solution.
Sure.
And for my patients who prefer a more natural approach, mm-hmm. I think we could agree that this really is the more natural approach.
Yeah.
Because we're not injecting you with medicines.
No.
We're simply injecting you with the allergens that you are allergic to in a slow, safe manner over time so that your immune system takes care of you, which
Very
is
good.
What it's really designed to do.
It is. It is. So now I have heard people say that they get worse after these allergy shots.
Sure.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. So there are a few patients, a minority of patients who will say that immediately after an allergy shot, they will experience worsening allergy symptoms. We have lots of things we can suggest or offer to reduce or eliminate that possible side effect to allergy shots. But in general, yes, you are stimulating your immune system and you are going to have an immune response. That may be local at the injection site where a lot of our patients can have some mild itching, swelling, or redness where they get the allergy shots. Or it may be more a systemic side effect where you get a little bit worsening of your nasal congestion after allergy shots. But again, we have ways to mitigate and reduce that so that allergy patients are usually pretty happy once we sort of find exactly what works for them.
Very good. So that would make sense then. If you're doing something natural, you're getting the actual allergen that you're allergic to that's mixed according to what your profile is.
That's right.
And then I might get a little worse at first, but that's my immune system.
That's
I understand.
Right. Yeah,
okay.
That's your
that
immune system building up its response to what you're allergic
and
to.
And I did not know that you didn't have to do them for life, because that is a myth that I have heard people say, is that once you start allergy shots, you can never stop them.
That's right. That's right. And yeah, I think it's important. We should talk about sort of the myths of allergies and its treatment.
Let's
so
do that.
With allergy shots, studies have shown that if you complete the 3 to 5 year program of allergy shots, that when you stop those shots, you are going to most likely get continued benefit for about 7 to 10 years after you complete the shots.
Wow, I did not know that either.
Right. Some patients will get much longer benefit after their allergy shots. Some patients maybe slightly less. But when you quit your allergy shots, our goal is for you to have continued relief of your allergies beyond just your 3 to 5 years on the allergy shots. I absolutely have some patients who remember how bad they felt before they started allergy shots and don't want to stop their allergy shots.
Right, right.
So they will stay on them for longer than the 3 to 5 years. Again, that's why every patient is treated individually.
Good, good. Now, that's what's another common misconception that patients come in? You know, we talked about the allergy shots, but what other misconceptions do you commonly hear?
Oh, I've got a great one
okay.
for you. So I have patients who have avoided coming to the allergist because they're scared they're going to find out they're allergic to their pet.
Oh,
and then they're concerned that they're going to be told to get rid of a pet.
Yeah.
Let me assure you that Dr. Roman has never told anyone to get rid of a pet. So we find ways to work around your pet allergy. Maybe that is some extra baths for your pet. Maybe that is that your pet doesn't go into your bedroom or sleep in the bed with you if you have severe allergies.
Right.
Maybe that is some medications taken at specific times of the day, depending on when you are around your pet the most. Or finally, maybe that is allergy shots specifically geared toward pet allergy. So there are lots of ways we can work around a pet allergy. But I think a big myth is that you're going to come into the allergist, find out you're allergic to your pet, and then be told to get rid of that pet. And I can assure you that is far from the truth.
That's a great one, because, I mean, I love my dog, so.
And everybody loves their pets. They're like a member of the family,
they
right?
Are.
They are.
She is.
Of
Mine
the family.
Is. Yes, she
That's
absolutely.
Right. A lot of them are, you know, living with us every single day in the house. And so we would never suggest that you get rid of your pets.
What about, you know, I hear people ask, why are allergies worse now than they used to be? Why are people being, have worse allergies?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. And there's a lot of theories out there. I don't think scientifically we have come up with exactly the reason for why. I do think, though, we have better access to care now. We have better, easier access to testing. So we're finding out that a lot of people who just chalked it up to what we used to call hay fever,
yes,
now actually can get in, get those allergies specifically diagnosed, and get on a treatment plan. So I think the old myth was you just had to live with this. This
yes.
was just part of life.
True.
And you just had to suffer with it. And now we know that's really not true. You can come in,
yes.
find an individualized treatment plan, and stop the suffering.
Perfect. Because you do get people that will say things like that. And I agree. I think, you know, we now have treatment options. We now diagnose people more than we used to.
Right.
So besides allergy testing mm-hmm. and besides allergy shots, are there other emerging therapies that you want the listeners to know about?
Yeah. Interestingly, I usually tell patients when they come to see me and we get down to, like, what is the treatment plan? You know, maybe they have done their skin testing, found out what they're allergic to. I usually say the treatment for allergies specifically hasn't changed a lot. Now, I want to come back and talk to you more about asthma someday. There
yeah,
have been a lot
yeah.
of changing therapies over the years with asthma, some injections outside of allergy shots.
Okay.
But really, for the typical spring and fall allergy sufferer, things haven't changed much. You try to stay away from what you're allergic to.
Yeah.
You take medicines either over-the-counter or something that's been prescribed to you, and you consider allergy shots.
Okay.
Those three mainstays really haven't changed a lot over the years.
And that was the word I was going to use. I was going to use mainstay.
That's right. And that's really what we're still using. So the great news is we've had these treatments for a long time, so they're very well studied, they're very safe, and they're also very effective, or we wouldn't still be using them, right?
Right. Absolutely. And they've been, I mean, antihistamines.
Been around forever.
Forever.
And they're still our number one go-to.
Isn't
absolutely.
That funny?
Yeah.
Yes, it's
yeah.
so true. So talking about antihistamines, so when someone has, in case the listener doesn't know, histamines are what?
Right. So histamines are chemicals that are released from certain cells in your body
okay.
that trigger that allergic response. So it makes sense that an antihistamine mm-hmm. would try to block
okay.
that histamine from causing that allergic okay. response. And that's why antihistamines are some of the first things we reach for. Those are usually found in the tablet form over
right.
the counter. But you can actually find antihistamines in eye drop form.
Yes.
If your allergies are specifically
itchy
located
eyes,
in your
right,
eyes, right? And you can also find antihistamines in a nose spray form.
Yes.
So again, those are tricky to figure out. Over the counter, just looking at a box, is this an antihistamine tablet? Is this an antihistamine nasal spray? So that's when it's good to get in and seek some help.
Right, and get some direction.
That's right.
There is so much out there. And I appreciate you being here today and individualizing your therapies with your patients and speaking with us today. We have discussed allergies in the Upper Cumberland. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.